From the Gospel of Matthew, Bible reading number 213. And we're going to talk about the temptation to Jesus at this time. We're going to study 4:1 through 25. And we're going to talk about the Via Maris. The Via Maris. The Via Maris is the what they call the Purple Highway or the King's Highway. It was going right through this area. This is the crossroads of the world. Just like New York City or LAX, this is the crossroads of the world. And Jesus is being raised there in the crossroads of the world. And not only is he being raised there, but his ministry begins there to where everybody, as they're traveling through, did you hear about Jesus? Did you hear about Joshua? Or whatever, you know, they might have called him. Joshua was his name, actually. Jesus is Greek, Jesus. But have you seen all the things that Joshua did, and et cetera, et cetera? And this is going from all over the world now, all over the Middle East. And now we're going to go to the temptation of Jesus, Matthew, the 4th chapter. I watched a movie one time called Red-Headed Stranger. Marilyn, that's one of her favorite movies with Willie Nelson, where he played a preacher. And when he got up ready to preach, there were some bad actors in the town where he was, and they came out there heckling him, and he went outside, and he began to pray for God to curse him, and all this kind of stuff. And they were going, oh, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that. All the time I curse them, make maggots crawl out of their ears and their eye sockets and all this kind of stuff, and they're standing there, ah, like that. And this was the message he was going to preach right here. And they humbly went in there and sat down and shut their mouths. So I think about that every time I do this message here. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led up. He was led up. He didn't go there. He was led up. Led. You know what leading means? You lead a dog, whatever you lead, he was led up there by supernatural forces. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, now he went without eating 40 days and 40 nights, then he became very hungry. Now, hunger is one of the temptations. I know that Marilyn has had a hard time the last 2.5 years with she had to totally change her diet to stay alive. She used to like coffee so much. Coffee. I mean, she had to have coffee. I'm going to share this with you just a little bit as we go out here. She wanted a husband that would drink coffee with her. And she failed. Because I don't drink coffee at all. I never did drink coffee in my life. I don't like the taste of it. Well, Marilyn and I would go out to a restaurant and she would order coffee for me. And when we finished eating, she said, you didn't drink your coffee. I said, I don't drink coffee. And that went on for about 2 years, her ordering coffee from me. What do you want to drink? He wants coffee. We'll both have coffees. And so they bring coffee. Well, now she can't drink coffee. She can't drink tea. She can't eat chocolate. You know how hard it is for a woman not to eat chocolate? That's difficult. That's temptation, isn't it? And if you have chocolate in the house and things like that, that is a double temptation. They told her to quit eating ice cream, so I tried to buy ice cream that's not really ice cream, but this has very little sugar or no sugar in it because she has diabetes. These things are all temptations that we see in the world today. Well, Jesus now didn't have anything to eat, nothing. I don't know whether he ever tasted one bit of ice cream or one piece of chocolate or anything. Surely not. But he was hungry. And then he became extremely hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, what he says to him here, the translation doesn't do the job. The translation doesn't do the job. There's no if here. It is a first-class conditional particle. And a first-class conditional particle is condition fulfilled or stated as a fact. Now, how this should actually be translated is that since you are the Son of God, since you are, not if you are, since you are the Son of God. That's the translation. That's the correct translation of it. Since you are the Son of God. Now, Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Did he or did he not? He did. He'd already been trying to kill him through Herod. Now, he's 30 years old, and he's going to start his ministry. And now he's going to be tempted. He said, since you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Loaves is what it literally says, loaves. Loaves of bread. And by the way, the loaves of bread weren't like the bread you go and buy in a market. It was not like a rainbow or bimbo or whatever you might go in there and buy. It was like a tortilla. They were all like crackers. And they would take them and cook them on, or in ovens, or on a beaten copper rounded type of a, maybe like a stovetop. And they would flip them over and cook them until it was like a tortilla. So now this is a loaf. This is the big tortilla. Now he said, since you're the Son of God, command these stones to become tortillas, loaves. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now we know that Moses went for 80 days at least without eating or drinking. There are different times in the Bible where it talks about fasting, and I did a message on fasting here a week or so ago. They fasted many times to control their body, to get their body under control so they could serve the Lord better, or that they have an answer. They have a prayer, and they're fasting and concentrating and praying all the time. Doesn't say they're doing anything else but praying and fasting. Now, that's not something that you go about, I'm fasting, I'm fasting. I see everybody, I'm fasting, I'm fasting, I'm fasting. That's what the Jews would do. He said, if you fast, do it silently in your closet at home. Just fast and pray. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city. Where do you think that is? The holy city. Jerusalem. And he stood him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, Sharon, I think you've been there. I'm sure you have. Out on the wall, there's a temple. You're looking down from the Mount of Olives down on Jerusalem, and there's a corner there. And that corner of the temple area, there is a 1,000 feet drop there or so. You can jump off of that thing and fall all 1,000 feet. So that's where Satan took him. And he said to him, since, not if. Now get if out of your minds. This is not an if here. This is not an if in English, a conditional particle in English. This is a first-class conditional particle in Greek, and it means the condition is determined as a fact. So it says to him, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Again, Satan is trying to get him to trick him, like he did Eve there in the garden. He's trying to trick Jesus into showing him that he's the Son of God, which he is. There's no doubt about that. Jesus is the Son of God, and Satan knew that. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down as written, and he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Does Satan know Scripture? He's got a lot of preachers out there, people. A lot of preachers and false religions all over the world. Buddhism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. Do they know Scripture? Yes. Do they interpret it correctly? No. Did Satan interpret Scripture correctly? No. Did he know it? Yes. And Jesus answers and says to him, on the other hand, now, the story. On the other hand, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God, do not tempt me. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I am the Lord your God, do not tempt me. I am Jehovah that was coming into this world. Do not tempt me, I have a job to be done. And Sharon related at the beginning of this message, or before this message today, that she was in the place where Jesus lived. His family lived, Joseph and Mary lived in Egypt, and it was an extremely humble area. Jesus did not come into this world to gain wealth or become very wealthy. He was wealthy. He owned the whole world already. But when he came here, he lived in extremely humble conditions. I was born in those humble conditions with a dirt floor like he lived in, probably with a dirt floor. We had no running water and no electricity, neither did he. People today, if you don't have any running water and no electricity, they think you're in a terrible shape. But I lived without running water and electricity until I was almost 10 years old. Actually, we had running water here in Fish Lake Valley when I came up here when I was 7. But we didn't have any electricity. We didn't have any running water or electricity down there when I lived in the little shack on Citrus Avenue in Bakersfield, California, or east of Bakersfield, actually. He said, written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 6:16, and Exodus 7:17, or Exodus 17:7, that is. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. Mountain is what in the Bible? Usually talks about government. So he takes him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the governments and kingdoms of the world and their glory. He takes him up there looking down upon the earth on this high mountain, this high governmental area. Now, who is the God of this age? Who is the God of this age? Satan is. He's the God of this world, the prince of this world, the prince of this age. Now, these were his kingdoms. Even Israel has been circumvented away from God, and they will not accept the Messiah king that come to them. Even they, supposed to be the people of God, would not accept Jesus. Verse number 9, and he said to him, all these things I shall give to you. I own this. I am in control of this. All of these things I will lay at your feet if you fall down and worship me. Now here we have Jesus that is the eternal Son of God, but now Jesus is in human flesh, isn't he? Is Jesus hungry? Yes. Does he need sleep? Yes. Does he need drink? Yes. Is he subject to diseases and things all around him? We don't know because the infection of sin was not in him. But all the heat and the cold, he's subject to all of this. But now we have a supernatural being tempting him. And Jesus is no longer in all reality. The deity is dwelling in human natural flesh that has limitations. And he said, all these things I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Here is a powerful being, Satan, talking to Jesus that is living in a humble body without sin, but he's living in a humble body that is subject to pain, sleep, deprivation, hunger, and thirst. And he said, bow down to me. You fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan. The word Satan is what? Destroyer. It's diabolos. Satan is another term that means one who opposes. The trickster. Diabolos means one who kills and murders. He is a murderer, the Bible says, from the very beginning. He instituted the first murder in the Bible, which came when Cain killed Abel. He instituted the first theft in the Bible when Adam and Eve stole from and touched the tree of God, which we're forbidden to touch. The tree of life. Or tree of knowledge and good and evil, that is. And then they were forbidden to touch the or partake of the tree of life also. These are God's trees. They weren't theirs. They stole. Not only did they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but as far as the Bible is concerned, it's a while consecutive and perfect. They ate it until it was all gone. They ate it up. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and kept on ministering to him. Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 16 tells us, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall not worship anything else except the Lord your God." Verse number 12 now. "Now when he heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee." Galilee means circle. The word Galilee there, the whole area, the whole circuit of the Lake of Gennesaret, or Sea of Galilee, this was the whole area. And there were 10 cities around here, and then there were all the cities around them. "And leaving Nazareth, he began and he settled in Capernaum." Capernaum means beloved home. Kafar Nahum. Kafar means covering, beloved home or beloved covering, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. "And this was fulfilled what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet." Again, Jesus Christ came according to the word of God. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, he said, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Did you really believe, or did you just go along with everybody else? "For I delivered to you as first importance I also received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture." The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. "And that he was buried, according to the Scriptures. And that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Most of them remain until today, but some have died or fallen asleep." He said, "And then he appeared unto James, then to all the apostles, and at last he appeared unto me. And I am the least of all apostles, because I persecuted the church of God." The gospel is that Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures. It just didn't happen. He came and he was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was going to be raised in Nazareth. He was going to go down into Egypt first and then brought back into Nazareth. And then he was going to begin his ministry in Galilee. And let's see what it says Isaiah the prophet said. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light." Jesus was that great light. "And to those who were sitting in the land in the shadow of death, upon them the light dawned. Jesus said unto them, I am the light of this world. I am the water of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven." All of these things that happened in the Old Testament were types of him. "And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers." Now here he's going to call out his church. This is where the church begins, right here. Not on the day of Pentecost, but right here. The word church, ecclesia, it comes from ek and kalio. It means to call out, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's calling out his church. "Walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter." Simon means one who hears, by the way, and Peter means a little stone. "And Andrew means manly, and his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And they said to them, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Leave your nets, leave your occupation, and come to me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, you're not supposed to be eating men. Their bread and butter was fish. That was their living. That boats that they had worked hard to attain were vehicles of their occupation. And immediately they left the nets and they followed him. And going on there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother in the boat with Zebedee and their father mending the nets, and he called them. Matthew 28:16-18. Matthew 16 and 18. These are all evidence of the church that was in existence when Jesus was on this world. And immediately he left the boat, they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. The word synagogue there, by the way, is the Greek word for the place of gathering. Moed is the Hebrew word. They didn't use that to use the word synagogue because they were speaking Greek, not Hebrew. Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is what? That Jesus Christ is born in the world. He's telling them, I have come. The gospel of the kingdom. I have come. The king has come. Look at the face of the king. Follow me. Believe me. Trust in me. I'm going to die for you. Not only am I going to die for you, but I'm going to be put in the grave. And I'm going to be there for 3 days and three nights. And then I'm going to be raised forevermore. The death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people, he is proving that he is the Messiah, King of Israel. This is proof of the Messiah right here. The Bible says that Jesus would come and heal. And the news about him went all into all Syria. Why? Because this is called what? Via Maris. Via Maris. The roadway of the world. The crossroads of the Middle East. They were hearing about him all over. And they brought to him all who were ill, taken with various diseases, pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics. He healed them all. And a great multitude followed him from Galilee and Decapolis. From Galilee, that means a circle. Now from Decapolis, that means the 10 cities. And that is in Jordan now. All the multitudes followed him from Galilee and Decapolis, Jordan, and Jerusalem and all Judea from beyond the Jordan. Jesus has become a famous preacher. John the Baptist was a famous preacher. And the Jews didn't want to listen to him. Herod tried to put him in prison to keep him safe. And then his wife tricked Herod, had her daughter dance as a prostitute in front of all these men until he would ask her, ask me and I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. And she said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Well, Jesus will die because of these people also. But he died because of you, and he died because of me also, because we're sinners. We can't go to heaven without Jesus dying for us, dying, being buried, and resurrected. He died for our sins and resurrected for our justification. Without the death, burial, and resurrection, you have no gospel, and yet preachers are preaching today that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. All the Muslim world says Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. Many of the cults say Jesus didn't die on the cross and wasn't raised from the dead. The Muslims say Jesus didn't die on the cross, but he was taken up into heaven. But Jesus wasn't the Son of God according to Islam. He was the Son of Mary. The Bible says that he's the Son of God. You can believe all these false religions out there if you want to, and you can go to hell. or you can believe the story that we've read to you today, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we send this message out today for your honor, for your glory. Please use it wherever it goes, that you might be manifested, that your Son might be glorified as our Savior. And I pray that people will cry unto you for salvation and forgiveness because of him. In Jesus' name we pray. And please forgive me where I fail you. Amen.